Welcome back, everyone, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. It's CarlsonCast.com. Boop, 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 boop. It's Vinny Paulino, everybody, your host, special guy. Look at that guy.
At least you didn't insult me. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. It's Brian Ball, everybody. It's Ross Johnson. That's me.
Is that the McDonald's theme?
Scam Taylor, everybody, with our special guest, Felipe Esparza.
You know what?
Felipe Esparza didn't get entrance music.
Da 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 da.
It was not going
to
be good.
Carlson Cast. Hey, everybody. We have a quite an interesting show lined up for you today. We got a cool announcement that we're going to make in just a second. But before we do, I got to tease our guest. We're going to talk about a guy who came up from Mexico. You know, I've read conflicting reports here. From everything I've heard, it was illegal, and I don't want to say that.
Yeah, I looked at it, too. Some said he was born here. Some said he wasn't.
I'm
interested to find out.
Either way, there's something. There's a story there. We're going to find out about that. We're going to talk about addiction. We're going to talk about having being a very young father. And we're going to talk about being one of the best comics in the world.
Yes.
So a lot to discuss today with him. He'll be in just a few minutes. But before we do, I need to take a second and tease what's going on tonight at Comedy at the Carlson, and I'm going to do it really quick. Hey, coffee got delivered. Give it up for Shoeless Joe, everybody.
Shoeless Joe the coffee guy.
Yeah.
He's just racking up nicknames.
We're just calling him Shoeless Joe on account of he didn't have shoes at Christmas time. It was sad. He was like, I just want a pair of shoes. It was adorable. So where were we? Oh, tonight. New comic night, baby.
Woo.
There
it
is.
I'm the only one excited.
Tonight, Friday, January 18th, that's it, 8 o'clock sign up. So what's going to happen is you'd cut it right back to me, Cam. What's going to happen, folks, is at 8 o'clock, you come in, we're going to have you write your name on a piece of paper and put it into a drawing. At 8:30, we are going to draw 20 names. Those 20 names are going to get 5 minutes each to make you laugh in the Rickles room. We are expecting a packed crowd. When I say a packed crowd, it's going to be tight. We have been getting emails all week. I want to thank our good friends over at 13 Wham for having Mark and I on the other morning to go and promote this.
That was really good.
We had a good time. I taught Ashley Dozenbacher how Dorsbacher.
Dorsbacher.
Dorsenbacher sounds like the way it's spelled, but it's pronounced Dorbacher. Dorbacher.
Doorknocker.
Doorknocker. Cam, you're fired.
Not sure you got it.
It's door. Who cares? Either way, thanks, Ashley. We appreciate it. You can check out the link to that on our Facebook. Now, new comic nights tonight. We're excited about that, but we have another event for you new comics coming up very, very soon. And I'm a little sad, but I'm also incredibly happy.
Why is that?
Well, we are bringing back the Rochester Roast Battles. Hit up the Roast Battles. There we go. They are starting back up in March, okay?
Yeah.
But right now, the sign-up is out. You could sign up to participate. Anybody could participate. The sign-up sheet's on carlsoncast.com. Just go up to the top right corner there, and you can sign up. But what we're going to ask you to do is there's a little questionnaire, and we want you to give us 10 facts about yourself just so, you know, not everybody knows each other.
Yeah, you got to know something about the person.
You got to have a little bit of ammo.
Because people come from all over the place for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this year we're hoping to be a little bit smoother, but I have had the pleasure of being the roast master for the last 2 years. And we've also, you know, had a two-time champion.
We have.
A two-time champion. Do you know what a big deal a two-time champion is at something like that?
Not much, but it sounds great.
He won a lot of money.
Yeah.
He won some money.
Yeah, he did win some money.
And I decided that I think the right thing to do would be for me to step aside.
That's always the right thing for you to do.
Agreed. I have no problem. I'm sad because I really enjoy doing it, but I figured, you know, if you win the goddamn thing twice, you earn something at least.
And I'm happy because he's beaten me twice. He's the guy who's eliminated me 2 times.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the new Rochester Roastmaster, Mr. Justin Brown.
Woo! Hello, my babies, my sweet baby girls.
Stop touching that.
Jesus, stop making the faces.
Creepiest Dusty
I just
want to
call him, like, shitty Thor. Look at him. He's just the worst. Justin,
where's his
how
hammer?
Did you win 2 roast battles when you happen to be 9 feet tall and smell like a foot?
It's easy. Everybody is very talentless in this town.
See, he's really good at this job, folks. So you're going to be the Roastmaster this year. Are you excited?
I'm so pumped. We're going to have a great show this year. Got a lot of funny people coming in to do the show. I can't wait to get started with it.
Well, Justin, I am very proud of you because when the roast battles happened the last 2 years, you really brought your A game. You absolutely did.
Yeah, there's something about making fun of your friends for money that just really motivates me. I don't know what it is.
Well, either way, man, you're it this year. So is there any thing you'd like to say about Brian before you leave?
Brian, you smell like you look terrible.
That's not even... You're so much better than that. What was the one you got me with last year?
You know what? A funnier one would have been mediocre.
Was it you?
You smell like you look.
Was it you who said I look like a fat ironing board?
No. I'm just going to steal somebody else's because it's the best one. You look like a bag of milk.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
So either way, Justin's going to be running it, and I haven't decided if I'm going to enter yet. I don't think I should be allowed to. But
Oh, you should.
Oh, I'm thinking about it. I would have so much fun being in a contest for once.
Yeah, man.
But I might just sit back and be the Roastmaster General because, you know, that's...
You can get a special...
My slutty sidekick.
I'm going to wear... What do they call those on your sleeves?
The epaulettes.
Epaulettes.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear epaulettes.
That's a big word for you.
Epaulettes? That's why you had to get it from me.
That's a small couch for you, you giant ass.
Ow, words can hurt, Vinny.
Yeah, they can. And we'll find all about that at the Rochester Roast Battles coming up. This spring. Now let me take a second and well, what do you know, in time to make me happy, why don't you hit my screen there, Cam? Look at that.
Yahoo.
It's working.
I've been freaking out all morning. Justin Brown, we'll see you next time. Get out of here.
Bye, everybody.
Sapori Cafe and Catering. Let's talk about our sponsors.
The place Justin Brown is not allowed in.
Yeah. The door frames are too low.
Add to the list of places.
Add to the list. Sapori Cafe and Catering. We went there, was it last week for your,
yeah, for
your
my burger?
Oh, you seem to enjoy it.
It was good.
I refuse to eat anything named after you.
It was very good. I even brought my daughter.
Yeah.
I filed a complaint.
Good. Yeah. I enjoyed having your daughter there because when you start to talk, just watching her have the same kind of reactions that we have to you just made me feel better about stuff.
She's tired of it.
She's just like... But congratulations on your sandwich. Lunch every day of the week, Monday through Friday, Powers Building Atrium, or you can have them cater your very own special event.
My sandwich was very popular. He said it'll be back sometime. So.
Well, that's excellent. Did you sell out?
God, I hope not.
I don't know.
Oh. He told me when mine happened that it sold out.
Don't you ever threaten me like that, Brian.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah,
it'll be back.
At Sapori Rochester. Let's talk about our friends at Three Heads Brewing, threeheadsbrewing.com. They have got some great music happening right now. They have live shows 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday. Or actually, I'm sorry, Tuesday through Sunday. My mistake. Three Heads Brewing. And let's see what else we got here. We need to talk about these fine fellas over there at Iron Smoke. Did you see what they did this week?
Yes.
What, no,
big news.
Big news.
Oh, I saw they got...
Tell the people, Cam.
They won a very popular magazine, I believe it was Forbes, called them one of the best whiskeys outside of Kentucky.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Top 10 in the United States.
That's pretty impressive because there's a lot outside of Kentucky.
There is.
In everything, not just in whiskey. There's a lot of things going on outside of Kentucky.
But Rochester is represented, and I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a marvelous thing.
That's awesome.
So let's take a break, and we're going to be back in just a second with Felipe Esparza. Hey, everybody. We got big shows coming up at Comedy at the Carlson this month. This weekend, we have Felipe Esparza. Next week, we have Vicky Barbalak, January 24th through the 26th. Moses Storm, January 31st through February 3rd. Jessa May Peluso, returning February 7th through the 9th. Oh, and Todd Youngman will be around that weekend, too, in the Rickles. Orny Adams, February 5th and 15th and 16th. Bob Saget, February 21st and 23rd. One Night Only, Joselito de Puppet, February 27th, 7:30 p.m. Mateo Lane will be here February 28th through March 2nd. Preacher Lawson will be back April 4th through the 6th. Samuel J. Comro, April 18th through the 20th. That's right. Get your tickets now. Call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com. We'll see you at a show. If it is a comedy at the Carlson Cast, we're still waiting on Felipe to make it into studio, but we are here. The text line is open. Feel free to send your questions, 585-484-0265. Don't forget you get your tickets to see Felipe tonight, 585-4-COMEDY, and carlsoncomedy.com. We're very excited to have him in here.
Yes.
I can't wait, but...
And you know it's going to be snowy. What else you got to do?
I want to know what he thinks when he looks at this weather, because... I'm originally from California. I was born in San Diego, and like my mother's family
got
were
thrown
all these
out.
Northern people. So it just really made for a bit of a and made for things a little bit more difficult for me as a kid coming to New York from California.
How old were you when you moved from there?
Like 8. You know, we come back, or no, I was younger than that. I was like probably 6 or something like that. But I remember like the first time I looked at like Lake Ontario, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like California.
Not so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Felipe Esparza, how you doing, man? How you doing?
What's up?
Come on in, have a seat.
Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Jump on down on the couch, get comfy. You want anything?
Yeah. Or do you want to chill or what? Sit over here.
We don't have a mic for
it's
him,
right.
Actually.
Just chill over here.
Okay. How you doing, man? Good.
We're here with Big J Okerson and Doug Benson right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that. How you doing, man? I'm Vinny.
Rodrigo, pleasure.
Nice to meet you, Rodrigo. Thanks for making it.
Oh, I didn't think you did.
Yeah. That ad poster right there with, what's your name?
Yeah, so welcome to Rochester. Glad to have you here. We're live right now, just so you know, to the Facebook page for the club. Everybody's hanging out watching. They're excited about your show. And I got to ask you, we were just talking about, I was originally from California, and coming to Rochester as a kid was like shocking. How terrible is it to get off of the plane?
It was cold, man, for me.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it was probably 11 when you got off the plane.
Yeah, it was 11. Then nighttime, it was 8.
Right on. Wow. So I got to ask you, this is a weird start to an interview. I'm not going to lie. I am a complete disaster.
What part of, where did you live in California?
San Diego.
Oh,
Escondido.
Yeah? Escondido, the hood.
Is it? I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, it's bad.
Really?
Yeah. It's a bad, it's a shitty place.
I thought
to live.
Nothing bad ever happened in San Diego.
No, it's bad. San Diego has bad part, like El Cajon, Escondido, and some other places.
Well, I guess I'll deal with the snow. I'm fine with the snow at this point.
You made it out.
I made it out.
Probably Vinny started it. It probably was a really nice place.
Yeah.
And then you started it.
So
you made it go downhill.
We're doing 4 shows this weekend, and I got to ask you, man, you have a very, very interesting backstory. How old were you when you actually came from Mexico to America? Or, and we've heard...
Oh, little, man. I don't remember. I was like... I know there were 3 of us together, so my little brother was 2. I must have been 5 or 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't remember much, you know, but I know that we made it through. But I didn't know... But back then, you know, it was different. I know that it was... I don't remember much. But I know that it was different to cross because it was easier. Like, you could just go and Walt Disney.
Right.
He let a lot of people from Mexico in.
Right.
To go to Disneyland.
That was nice of him.
So people would just go and go, where are you going? Disneyland. And they would trust us to come back. But a lot of us just kept going to Magic Mountain and...
Disneyland.
Six Flags.
Disneyland was fucking packed.
Fuck you guys, I'm going to SeaWorld.
They're going to SeaWorld, San Francisco, Santa Cruz. That's where all the Mexicans went. We went to every city with a San in front of it. San Antonio, San Diego.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. So, like, you grew up in, where exactly?
I grew up in Boyle Heights. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie called Blood In, Blood Out.
I don't know that movie.
It's a very popular
movie. I have seen it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wherever that movie was shot, that's where I grew up. That's my neighborhood.
That's where other people were also shot.
Yeah. They were all shot. Yeah, man. Like, when I was a little kid, I would hear shootings every night. Like, no, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, we knew, like, when we laid down, okay, that was a 38, that was a 357.
Seriously?
Yeah, every night there was a shootout outside the neighborhood or... So it was just always shootings. Like, you would hear it every night, like, loud.
That's not good when the cops come to ask for a description and you describe the caliber of the gunshot.
I don't know, sir, but it was a .45. No, people would actually, like,
I didn't see
people would tell the cops, what kind of sound you heard? It was, sir, I think it was a shotgun. It was douche, douche.
Is it true your dad was a former pro wrestler?
I made that up, man. Okay. He was not a wrestler.
Because you have, that's my favorite joke in the world. It's one of my favorite. The first time I saw your Netflix special, I forget how long ago, that joke made me laugh incredibly.
Yeah, because I used to love wrestling. I got to, when I was a little kid, my dad, he never wanted to take us anywhere. But my grandmother was, I would go call my grandmother crying. He goes, "Why are you crying?" "My dad didn't want to go take me to see Roddy Piper." And he goes, "What? Who's Roddy Piper?" "He's a Scottish guy that hates everybody." And then then we went to go see him.
They could have just stopped at Scottish guy.
And then we went over there and we saw, I saw Roddy Piper. He jumped another guy and beat up Andre the Giant. And then Mil Máscaras came in and he fought Greg the Hammer.
No fooling.
Yeah, the Man of a Thousand Masks.
Mil
Máscaras, by the way, is the only wrestler to go undefeated on the WWF. It was in his contract that I can't lose to a white guy.
I actually just saw that on some weird wrestling YouTube video. They said he's the only undefeated guy.
How many matches did he have, you think?
A thousand. He's in a Wrestling Hall of Fame in Japan also.
Yeah.
Here in America and Mexico.
Excellent. I have to say, that's a brilliant joke, by the way, though.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant joke. I don't want to do your joke, but I just want to say, watch his Netflix special.
Watch it, please.
Watch it immediately, and the HBO special.
We got Rodrigo Toy right here with some Gandolfini, bro. Here, give me some.
Hey, good morning. Here live on the show with the Carlson in Rochester. Where's all the John Candy at?
Where's all the John Candy at? I got nothing. I feel like I'm falling apart this afternoon, everybody. I'm dealing with a cold, so forgive me. But let's talk about this real quick. You came over. You as a young person dealt with a lot of addiction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And before you got into stand up.
Yeah, I started drinking when I was like 15 years old because we had parties, so I would sneak a little Budweiser, take it to the back, drink it with my little brothers. They were younger than me. They were like 10, but I was older. And then during high school, I would drink like a malt liquor, you know, Old English, that's what everybody starts off with.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
You ever have an old... I bet you've never had an Old English, have you?
Yeah, Mickey's.
An Old English.
Old English beer, a malt liquor.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, yes.
I can't picture you with a 40.
Dude, you used to be able to steal them from the mobile station in Fairport when I was...
Like, you need to live in Escondido.
No. I brought that over from Escondido to the good folks of Fairport.
So you were like a shoplifter.
Yeah, I knew people who did.
I don't know
what the statute of limitations is.
You know, like somebody would like a sneak in M&M bars inside your sleeve and walk out. Like you put them in right here. Like, hey, what's this guy that slips inside?
Listen, man.
He's Italian. He's always one step removed from the actual crime.
I'm just going to say, do you think I got this skinny by stealing salads? You can't steal a salad. You can't steal a little cabbage.
Bars.
But you get yourself a Snickers.
A 40 and
I smoked my first joint when I was 20 years old.
Interesting. But and you were drinking at 15.
It was at a house party. Not a house party. It was at a Christmas party. My friend had a job, and he invited me. And we were bored. We were not talking to nobody. And my friend busted out an eighth of weed. I didn't even know what kind of weed it was. He rolled up a fat joint. I smoked it. Then I told him, can you sell me some? Then I went home, and I smoked everything, and I just started smoking weed every day. Mm-hmm. But then my brother got shot. My brother got shot by the police. So we were all depressed. And then I had a bunch of crack in my pocket and just decided to start smoking it.
Hold on. Did you just go, oh, shit, there's crack in my pocket? Well, how did you get the crack in your pocket?
Selling crack in the neighborhood.
You were selling it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like,
Nick, you were like in a gang.
I was hanging out with this neighborhood and they were selling crack, but that neighborhood was so full of crack dealers that we were fighting over our cars. Like if any car would drive by, you see like six kids run up to it and tell us sell it crack. Any car that passed by, we were trying to sell it crack. But there were too many people. So I walked like half a mile.
You didn't understand the laws of supply and demand.
I walked into another neighborhood, like where I grew up, and I started selling their crack by myself. And there was no one there. So I pretty had a monopoly of the area. So I kind of like controlled the little area for a while. Mm-hmm. So that was my area. So that's where I was bored, and that's where I started smoking
crack.
Isn't
that, like, super dangerous? Like, if you have an area that's,
But this is all
if you
new.
Have your own area.
This is all new, though.
What year are we talking?
This is new, man. This is like early 90s, mm-hmm. late 80s. New. Like, crack came out in 85. I was out there in 91.
Okay.
You know, so it's like the cops were not into it yet. I was.
You got in on the ground.
It was the Wild Wild West still. Like, you could still run up to cars.
Yeah.
You know, and sell to cars. You know, not like now where it's in a house, but it was like crazy out there.
It's like so my buying brother, Amazon cheap.
So my brother got shot at. I was bored and I just started smoking crack with one of my customers. And then I smoked everything. And I smoked, and I went downhill after that.
Interesting. And you realized you needed to get some help.
Yeah, but I didn't want to stop. And I didn't want to stop using drugs because I love drugs. And I still do to this day. I wake up every day and want to smoke crack. Like I want it. I feel the taste in my mouth. Like
really?
I feel like I need it. But I don't. I don't do it because, you know, one day at a time.
Right.
So I was smoking crack. But this is how an addict works. When I stopped doing crack, I would tell myself, man, I was smoking crack the wrong way. Because I would hear other crackheads talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it. So then I would go back to doing it again the way they taught me in the meetings.
Oh, no.
Because no. I was smoking crack with like you know, you ever seen those ratchet wrenches? Wrenches?
Allen wrenches, yeah.
Allen wrenches? Like the
Yeah,
that one. So I would I put Brillo, like a carburetor, a carb, into that little hole, and then I use that to smoke. But I was burning my mouth because it would get too hot.
Because it's metal.
Yeah, so I didn't know. Yeah. So when I found out this guy and I started learning more, I found out that this gas station sells crack pipes. But I didn't know that. You just walk in, you go, can I have a flower? And that's how you buy a crack pipe. You never say, can I get a pipe? Can I have a crack pipe? No, you walk into a any gas station, you go, can I buy a flower?
That's where I've been fucking up.
Yes.
I keep asking so, for the crack
pipe. He keeps
pipe.
Buying the crack. The He's got a warehouse full of crack. And he just can't figure out how to smoke it.
When I saw the crack pipe, I said, wait a minute. I bought my girlfriend this in high school because I liked her. It was a little plastic tube, a glass tube. With a little rose inside.
Oh, yeah.
See, bro, I thought that was a romantic rose. I bought it for my girlfriend when I was like 13.
I think I've done that before.
Yes, but I didn't know later on when I was in my 20s that was an actual crack pipe in disguise as a flower.
What? You've blown my mind today.
Yeah, so when I gave it to the guy,
I've given so many girls crack pipes.
So the guy gave me that little crack pipe. I said, wait a minute, I don't want to buy a flower. I don't want this. I want a pipe. He goes, this is a crack pipe. He goes, the flower, just throw the flower. So I opened it up, threw the flower away, and I used that as a crack pipe. I didn't even know until I got into a rehab. It taught me well.
I wonder how much money the rose industry has made off of crackheads without.
Because the little tube cost $5.
Yeah.
So you go like this. You go like this. Can I buy some flowers and scoring pad? What's that thing called?
Scouring pad.
Brillo pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have a Brillo pad? Now here's the gas station that doesn't sell anything that with kitchenware, but he sells Brillo pads.
Ironically, the that's Brillo how you know how shady the place is.
Yeah. So you get the Brillo pad full of copper, and you make that as your little carburetor on your little flower pipe.
I would advise not trying that at home, but, you know, that's up to you. We're all adults here.
The more you know.
The more you know. So then I got hooked. I remember, I think I went into rehab, and I was sober 10 years. Then I got out, and I was opening up for Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
Fluffy. I mean, his opener for many years.
Right.
Here's the thing, man. Gabriel Iglesias made a career. You know, his first special was Nothing But Me. He imitated me through the whole act. But this is how we did it, though. Me and Gabriel planned it out. When he was doing his half-hour special on Comedy Central, he asked Comedy Central if I could do 5 minutes before he goes up.
Interesting.
So I did a killer 7 minutes, killed it. They loved me. So that Gabriel Iglesias follows me and does impersonations of me to the audience, and they already knew who I was. So it worked really well.
So can I backtrack for a second here? I'm really fascinated by your story. So you were sober for 10 years. At what point did you decide to step on a stand-up stage?
Oh, I was as soon as I came out of rehab, I went to do stand-up.
Really?
When I was like selling drugs, I told this guy, he was the first guy I ever told, and I used to buy drugs off him to sell. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, he just looked at me, man. He goes, you're funny. He goes, you know, funny you say that. I always wanted to be a comedian. like I said, I was a little kid. He goes, fuck it, homie. You should just do it, homie. Fuck all this. You got to be out here fucking around. If you want to do it, just do it. So I said, you're right. So it took me like a year later. I come out of rehab. When I was in rehab, we had a guy, this Catholic brother. Mm-hmm. He came down and he goes, he was talking to us. He goes, I want you guys to write down your five dreams, your goals. But we heard dreams first. So me and a bunch of old heroin addicts were writing down, I have this dream where I wake up with money and it's gone. I have a dream where I'm naked in class. Then the guy took he ripped the paper. He goes, no, not describe what you dream about. What are your goals in life? So it's sad, you know, because there were a lot of guys there who were 60 years old. They spent half of their life in prison. And they were actually writing down stuff they wanted to be, like fireman, teacher. Here's a guy that done half of his life. He wanted to be a teacher. But I wrote down I wanted to be a comedian.
Was his name Todd?
Nah, his name was Killer.
Okay. I'm just wondering because I know a guy who was at rehab who became a teacher. Yeah. I'm just wondering. Just kidding.
Mr. Teetsort.
Sorry, Gerslin.
So this guy, I wrote down I wanted to be a comedian. And he goes, number two, I like Olive Garden, so I want to go to Italy. I want to do the real tour of Italy, not just the plate.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same.
Let's try ordering carbonara over there. See how it goes for you.
And I would, like the Godfather, you know, my favorite scene is when they get married and that band is playing in front of them. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and they're walking through the
best
town.
Best scene ever.
Yeah.
And so I wrote down that. Third, I want to just be happy. Four and five, I didn't write shit down. I forgot. So when I come out of rehab, I have a goal. I have a plan now. I never had a plan in my life. So I go straight to the library because that's the only thing I knew. Public library, Los Angeles County Library. It's like five stories. It's huge. And I walked up to the librarian and I said, I walked up to her like she was a career guidance, like a career guidance counselor.
Sure.
Miss Ruby, that's not her name, but I said, I want to be a comedian. And she looked at me with her glasses and her chain. She goes, all right. But I don't know how to write jokes. She goes, I need structure. I want to know how to write. So she took me to this long section of the library. And it was a bunch of comedy writing books. And she got one called Comedy Writing Step by Step by Gene Perrette.
It's one of my favorite books ever.
Yeah. And I checked it out and I never brought it back. And that was my book. That was my Bible for a long time.
Yeah,
I just read that book, and then I read another book that was even better than that one. It was called How to Write Funny, Be Funny, Perform Funny, and Make Money Out of Being Funny. So that joke, that book, it like broke down styles. I didn't know styles. I know like deadpan, and then like all these type of comedians. Sure. So I gravitated to the deadpans because I was very shy.
Yeah.
So my favorite comedian was Stephen Wright.
No, uh-huh. Stephen Wright's the freaking
Yeah, man. So I said, damn. So one night, I'm working at Dodger Stadium, and the Dodgers are playing the New York Mets.
Uh-huh.
And who comes in to buy a hot dog? Stephen Wright.
You're kidding.
He comes in with a real shitty-ass hair and skinny heroin body.
I'm not going to throw stones, Felipe, but I don't think you should be calling anybody shitty ass hair.
Okay, because
how are you going to be like that to our guest?
What is Stephen Wright going to do to me? You're going to walk up to me and fucking beat his ass. I'm not afraid of his ass. Fuck him. You know?
And he's like 70.
Who cares, eh? Hey, who cares? If it don't matter what age you are. If you step up to a man and talk shit, get ready to get knocked out. You know what I mean? Just don't walk up to people, you know? Uh-huh. But anyways, I see Stephen Wright. Nobody recognizes him. I'm like starstruck.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm telling all my friends. You know who that is? The fucking legend.
I'd be frozen in
He's
my
a
shoes.
Fucking Oscar winner, bro. A comedian. He was best jokes ever. Rodney Dangerfield presents.
And he walks up and says, yeah, I have a hot dog.
Yeah. And I walked I ran out of the kitchen, greasy as hell, and I shook my hand out. You're Stephen Wright. You're the greatest comedian ever. You're a legend. And then he put his hand inside his hoodie. Cause he's like a germaphobe, I didn't know, and he shook my hand with his
sleeve,
yeah, the sleeve,
close enough,
and he goes, "Yeah, nice to meet you too," and I walked away and I said, "Hell yeah,
that's cool,
that's awesome."
And I didn't even care that he shook his hand with his palm, with his hoodie, because I was greasy, I was dirty, bro.
Sure.
And I've been in that situation now. If somebody will walk up to me at that audience, take my hand out. Fist bump, buddy.
Yeah.
So I met him. He gave me some pretty nice advice. He was very good. And then I met another comedian from the Comedy Store that she was involved in that comedy strike, uh-huh. Elaine Boozler.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. She was very nice to me.
Wow.
She just told me, you just got to write every day.
So, okay. I want to compliment you. I love that you just went and tried to actually learn about comedy. So many people forget that step to actually look at comedy as an art. And
I know, man. They look at somebody who's already made it, like Tosh.0 or
and try to copy
like Louis C.K. or David Tell. Oh, that's how you do it. I just talk like him.
Nah, man.
Nah, man. It takes years. You think it took Louis C.K. overnight to get like that? Hell no.
Nah.
He was a completely different comic.
Remember that bit he had about how he would get it? The first time I saw Louis C.K., I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
He was just a random red-headed guy came into the comedy store.
And he
used
to do really absurd, weird
stuff. We're in the back.
Yeah.
He goes, who is this guy? This guy's the funniest guy that ever walked into this room. He had that bit about when he argued with people, he brings out other stuff, like in a car accident. Like somebody was honking at him, and he goes, fuck you, man. Give me back my fucking sweater. You fucking took my sweater, you asshole. I got to meet him, you know? Like, his manager, Dave Becky, he called my agent, and then I had a phone call. Like, he was trying to get my phone number through all these chains mm-hmm. of commands, and he calls me up, and I said, whoa. And then he wanted me to meet him at his house. So I went to his house, and I met Albert Brooks.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I met the guy who started King of the Hill.
Oh, Mike Judge?
Mike Judge and wow. Louis C.K. and the four of us.
That's an interesting afternoon.
The four of us, we sat together for 30 minutes, and we just chit-chatted. And then I went home. He got in trouble a month later, but I still have his phone number. Every month, I check up on him. How are you, carnal? And he goes, I'm all right, compa. How are you, Ben? We speak Spanish to each other.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets Mexican, he's Mexican, isn't he?
Yeah, he speaks better Spanish than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's continue to backtrack along this stand-up comedy line, because this, like I said, I'm very interested about
so
this.
So my first... I
Where did you first like decide
I,
to
I got
go?
My book, I wrote some jokes, and I went to... I looked up open mics at the LA Weekly, and if you're a young comic, every city has it, the Weekly, a magazine. And I saw comedy, open mic, all these comedy clubs, Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Igby's, Ice House. But then I saw one in the bottom that was for unknowns called The Natural Fudge.
Okay.
It was a vegan cafe, but I didn't know what vegan was.
The Natural Fudge sounds vile when I think about it.
It does sound vile, bro. It does sound vile because the owner will go up on stage and every comedian has to spend $5 inside to perform. Yeah. So he'll go up on stage and go, hey, have you guys tried that nut burger? And I thought it was a joke. I thought like it was a joke, like a burger full of cum, you know.
The nut burger.
The jizz burger. But it was actually a vegan nut burger. But we didn't know I wasn't vegan. I'm vegan now, but I didn't know back then. And the host was Johnny Roberts. I'll never forget him. He wore a suit. He was very professional. His wife was Brenda Roberts. She was this old hippie. But he'll perform with a suit, and I would see like...
You got to dress fancy to sling nut burgers.
Yeah, man, but it was weird because it was a shitty place, man.
Because people aren't going to take you seriously when you come out at them with a nut burger.
It was the place was like a little theater that looked like it used to be a jerk-off theater back in the days. Like, you know, one of those places where you watch a little movie.
No, I don't.
Never been.
Nope. Don't know anything about it.
It's the best, bro. Howard Mandel had the best bit about it. He said he used to go to those places with a water gun full of Jergens and shoot people in the back of the head. Howard Mandel would go into
make sure
a
hole. Warm first.
Yeah, he'll get a bottle of Jergens and put it in a water gun and shoot it at people in some place.
Yeah, but he won't shake your hand. Yeah.
So that's why he's probably a germaphobe.
You always know it's him in the place because he's wearing a full hazmat suit.
So this place ran like this. Two comedians and then a punk band. And then when the punk band is taking down their stuff, another comedian performs. Two comedians and a punk band. So I had to follow a punk band, a bunch of young kids. And I met Alonzo Bowden there the mm-hmm. first night. And I met Jamie Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
and Freddie Soto, the late Freddie Soto, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
And I met those guys. They were cool. They were cool with me. They were very nice. And I would hang around with Jamie Kennedy. And it's sad because I didn't know Jamie Kennedy would say bye to everybody at the end of the night. And then everybody would say goodbye. And I always wonder, why is he the last guy to say goodbye every fucking night? And then when I read his book, it broke my heart. He was homeless the whole time.
Yeah.
He was fucking homeless. I mean, I would have given him a place to stay, but, you know, when you're a comedian and you want to struggle, you don't want nobody to know you. You like to talk about the struggle after the struggle is done. Yeah. But during the struggle, you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we had him on the show a few months ago. He talked about that.
But I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So I was working at Dodger Stadium at the time. So every time I would go to an open mic, I would bring leftover hot dogs and leftover popcorn, and I would give it to the comics just to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met those guys there, and then we would do a lot of open mics. I would follow them. Like, I would overhear them where they're going. So I would know where Jamie went, and I would go where he went.
Uh-huh.
But he was the funniest out of the whole, all of us. Like, as far as, like, who's funny, he was funnier than Alonzo Bowden, funnier than me. His act was not like act like the act that we have, like joke, set up, punchline.
Yeah.
He would sit down, like, it was crazy. His first act, he would sit down, he'll put on some old glasses, and he put on like an old, Mr. Rogers,
yeah.
Like neighborhood cardigan sweater.
Yeah.
And he'll sit down, and he'll do his father. Like for 5 minutes, Jamie, won't you come talk to me, Jamie? And then he'll stop that, and then he'll do a transgender black woman that lived in his neighborhood.
So he was just exploring caricature stuff, but he was also kind of into acting. So for him, that was probably like a really cool mix of the two.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So I did open mic there for a long time. Then I would meet comedians that would pass through, and they would tell me about other spots.
Uh-huh.
So from there, I went to the Comedy Store, and then somebody recommended me to the Comedy Store for Mitzi.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Johnny Sanchez.
Oh,
he was my friend. He was on Mad TV, and what helped me a lot in the career was a lot of comedians would speak nice of me.
Yeah,
they'll like speak good things about me without me knowing, and when I walk into the room, they already knew me. Like, when I auditioned for Mad TV, I wasn't really an audition. It was just to speak with the executive, like you guys.
Yeah.
And we're just talking. They were trying to get to know me. Like, well, we heard about you, but from Bobby Lee, he speaks highly of you. And
right.
I was like, it'll take me like 5 minutes to like take in a moment of Bobby Lee saying good things about me. Like, okay. But then I would start.
You know, I think there's a lesson in there for new performers in general. You know, obviously the first step to being a comedian is to be funny, but one of the second best skills you could have is be a decent person and don't make everybody angry.
Yeah,
and just
so
be cool to people.
That's my whole life. I never made any comedian angry who didn't deserve it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like, if you're a bad, like any bad comic that people talk about, I have run-ins with him already.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they talk about this guy, oh, dude, I know that guy. He's mean. But those guys are gone, you know, because they don't last long.
Well, they get policed out of the business. I know it
sounds like... if you're a headliner who's mean as hell and you don't run a new act, you're not going to be around for a long time.
Yeah. See you later.
So you got to be a comedian that's headlining and writes a new act and be nice to everybody. Like, when I first started doing comedy, Paulo Francisco was headlining.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm done with comedy, Paulo Francisco is going to still be headlining. A lot of people talk about, he's been doing the same bits. Yeah, bro. He started with those bits. He's going to end with those bits.
Yeah.
Your bits are not going to last the test of time.
Right.
And he was the first guy that I would see that would destroy a room. Like if you had an audition for The Tonight Show or you were showcasing for an agent, and if Pablo went out before you, you were done.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. Give us some Pablo, bro.
In the city, one must fight to survive. One man, one desire.
So those guys,
spot on, man. That was
those
good.
Guys, like, they were real. They're like the guys that last are the guys, are the nice, funny guys.
Yeah.
When my friend Willie Barcena, he did like his ninth Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
He asked Jay Leno, "What comedians did you start out with? Didn't make it?" He goes, "The one who quit."
Yeah.
The one who saw the money first.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like if you're like if you're doing it for the money, you're never gonna make it. You're never gonna get funny. You're never gonna have a new act, because it's only the comedians who are poor, who are killing, who are gonna make it.
It's kind of like Rocky. You gotta have to be
balls,
hungry.
If you have no balls either, man. Like if you have a family right now, if you're starting off comedy with two kids, if your act is not as polished as Ray Romano or Brian Regan right now,
yeah,
you're not gonna make it.
There's my problem.
You're not gonna make it.
Two damn kids.
You know, they're
gonna
hold you back. They're gonna hold you back. Sure. I have three kids.
I'm gonna throw them out when I get home.
I have three kids when I first started doing stand up comedy, but that didn't stop me.
Sure.
I didn't get to see them. They're grown now, you know. But you know what? I follow my dreams. I let nothing stop me. And I tell my kids that, you know, we didn't get to see each other, but you know, this is where I'm at right now because this is what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I wanted to be your. I'm your father, but I didn't want to be around because I wanted to be a fucking comedian. Since I was a little kid. And he goes, you got to take that from me. Don't let nothing fucking stop you. You get somebody pregnant, you fucking take her on a roller coaster. Do whatever you can.
Jesus Christ.
You know, you move. You help. You tell your mother to help you raise that fucking child. That's the problem, you know, when a kid gets somebody pregnant, the parents react like their life is over. No. Your life is okay. Your kid's life need help.
Yeah,
a lot of parents like they turn their back on their daughter, like they feel that their life is over, when they should just be helping their daughter.
Yeah,
you know you should be watching that kid while your daughter goes to fucking school. You fucking dumb bitch. I got my girlfriend pregnant. The first thing my mom said was, "You fucked up your life. You got someone pregnant at 17." I told my mom, "No, you fucked up your life. You're a grandma at 35, bitch.
Oh Jesus,
you're gonna babysit for fucking free." Now you gotta watch my son and my daughter. You gotta ball. You gotta man up, bro. You gotta be a man one day.
You have to babysit for free.
Yeah. You gotta be ready, man. You can't let nothing hold you back.
So you were 17 when you had your daughter? Wow.
I was 17 when she got pregnant, but she was born when I was 18.
Okay, well, you know, you can buy cigarettes then. That's good.
That's funny. But when she got pregnant, you know, like, I was too old for her already. You know, she was 18. I was 18. She was turning 17.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. But you were 17. Yeah. So, interesting. So, your mom's involved in this. You had a daughter, and you decided you're going, I mean, you're out of rehab. Right.
When I came out of rehab, I did try to look for my kids, but my son's mom, she had ran off with someone else when we were together.
Uh-huh.
She was like cheating on me behind my back for a year and a half while I was drinking. So she had a relationship with somebody else. So then she left me for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went out to have two more kids with that guy. But I didn't see my kids ever again because she hid them from me.
Yeah.
So I didn't see them again until Facebook.
Really? You found them on Facebook?
Yeah.
How old are they now?
They're older up there. They're adults.
Have you been able to like?
Yeah, we're friends.
Okay. Well, like they accepted the friend request.
Oh yes, we're friends.
Okay.
But it's a relationship that I accept. You know, I'm not like one of those fathers that wants to relive what they lost. You know, those days are gone, homeboy.
Yeah.
They're gone. You're never gonna be their father again.
Well, you said it earlier. One day at a time, man.
Well, they're gone, man.
Yeah.
So we're friends first. Parents thinking.
Interesting.
But
it's kind of that way with adult kids. My oldest is 19, and he's like, he's my son, but he's also just this dude that lives in my house.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Like, it's weird to figure out that relationship when they're older.
Yeah, so my daughter knew. She found out who I was when I was on television. She said, well, wow,
man
sounds like me and talks like me, has my same last name. And then the mom finally, like, broke down and said, yeah, that's your father. This other guy told you that was your father. He's not your real father.
You're kidding me. So
she lied to her kids.
That's the best way for your kids to find out that their dad is
on
national television. That's hysterical. So they really saw their last comic standing.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, that guy's funny, and he kind of reminds me of me. Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And just to have that intuition, too, that just from a 5-minute thing on a TV show, be like, I think that guy's my dad.
So when my daughter found out, she it made her happy. Like, I knew I was better than these motherfuckers. That's what she told me.
And
she goes, I always knew there was something better than what I have here.
And how
I goes, you're right.
Funny for like the acts to have to go, yeah, that's him. Like, he's on television. And like, where was the other guy?
I don't know, man.
I'm just wondering.
Construction somewhere? Yeah. Provided.
But there you are on NBC.
But check this out. When I won last Comic Standing, the next day, that same mom, she filed for child support. And she became the last baby mama standing. She got like $150,000 in child support. So I paid off my child support that same when I won. So, you know, everybody got their money back. But this is how bad the mom was. I should have talked bad about her, but it really happened. When she got the money, she didn't tell the kids. She kept it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she kept it, and she paid off all her girlfriend's warrants. Yeah, my son's mom.
That's all good karma for you, though, man. I wouldn't stress about it. That's all good karma. A lot of people got good things out of
it. Not good. I don't think you're seeing it as karma because, you know what? It's like a dream come true. Like, sooner or later, I was going to end up paying his child support anyways.
Right.
But when I paid it off, it didn't hurt because it was never my money, you know?
Right.
If I had worked for that money and saved it and then they took it, oh, man, somebody would have died. but when NBC hit me up, NBC goes, you know, the child support case come opening up right now after you won. I said, I know. He goes, what you want us to do? Let me get incorporated first, then I'll write her a check.
Yeah.
So I did that. I signed off. I got the check, and I wrote her a check, and that was that.
I think there's a real misconception about your career where people think you were like an overnight success after winning Last Comic Standing, but realistically, you were grinding for a very long time before that.
I was hitting it hard in the West Coast. Like, I was known in the West Coast, like Arizona, you know, a little bit of people in New Mexico and Nevada, some people, but California, you know, California, Seattle, Washington, that's my hood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Texas, man, like I used to go, when I won Last Comic Standing, I had a guy from the NBC network come up to me because a lot of people were saying, hey, he didn't really win. Hey, I won. I got the check. But he asked me.
These people that are out on bail? Because of me.
He told me, you know, the main guy, like there's when the main guy, like the guy who greenlights television shows, there's the guy that, this is the guy. When all the television shows are on the board, he decides what time they're going to be on, who gets what. And he speaks Spanish, this guy. He's born in Mexico. And he's the president of
Programming, NBC, probably, right?
Of programming. And he told me in Spanish. He goes, ¿sabes qué? Whatever. He told me, out of all the comedians, he goes, he told me when you were on the show, we were big in markets that we were never big on.
Interesting.
He goes, we were big in Seattle. He goes, we were number one in Seattle. He was telling me all the Northwest. He goes, we killed it. He goes, and you had like 40% of the votes from everybody.
Wow.
He goes, so...
Over everybody, like 40% of the total votes.
And then, like, the guy who took second place, Tommy John again, you know, he was so bitter after he lost. You know, like, he don't understand, you know, like, yeah, you were funny. You were funny, but, you know, I'm Braveheart, homie. I won the people.
Yeah.
I'm the people's champion. You could be the greatest of everything, bro. You could be the funniest baseball... You could be the greatest baseball player. You could be the best everything. But if you're not the people's favorite... You're just going to be the best at that.
You're going to be Kobe.
Yeah, so when I won Last Comic Standing, those guys were sad they lost. I mean, they were so sad.
Yeah.
But I won.
Well, hold on. Shoe on the other foot for a second. You probably would have been sad if you lost, but didn't.
No, I would have still won, bro, because I got the stardom. I got the star power when I won.
I never understood the controversy. Your season, it does seem like everybody was all pissy.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people crying on the internet, you know.
Yeah,
like I didn't realize there was racism till I won.
How do you figure?
Like a lot of people were talking shit. Like there was some asshole from New York that has his own comedy page, and he was saying one of the racist stuff about me. And I can't wait to see him because I know that I'm going to beat his ass when I see him. And I think it's some guy from Cringe Comedy. Some guy had a Cringe Comedy page. And that guy kept saying racist stuff about me, racist stuff about Roy Woods Jr. Mike DeStefano had to walk up to him and tell him, listen, man, you're talking a lot of shit. He goes, I don't know if you know these guys, but these guys are pretty known, especially Felipe. Yeah. He's respected in the West Coast. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
And if he comes over here and he tries to punch you, I know you're my friend, I'm going to let him.
Everyone's going to let him.
Yeah, so he was saying all this, you know, but I didn't realize, but, you know, I won. And then, like, the guy that was who was second place, Tommy John again, when we were on the bus, he would take, like, an hour. He would be an hour late to the bus, acting like a little diva.
Interesting.
And then when he would go up on stage, he'd do 30 minutes. He'd put to do 15. Like, he was trying to make me bomb. But I would go up there, and you know how much time I would do? 10.
Because that's all it took.
Because that's all it took. And you know what? I don't work extra for no money, man. So, you know, it's sad, you know, that... And, you know,
That does make me sad that somebody would do
and
that.
And it was totally rude the whole time, you know, like going over and not respecting the bus, you know, just douchebag stuff.
Yeah, so for those of you young comics that are watching this to learn something.
And you know I'm not saying nothing bad about him. It's true.
Yeah.
If he comes, hey, why are you saying that stuff about me? I'm going to tell you, man, it's true. And I sold you your first bag of weed, by the way.
I would assume that if the guy...
No, what happened was that he's part of the Midwest.
I want to say I think I met Tommy
He's
before.
Part of the Bob and Tom
yeah,
crowd.
That's right.
So I don't know who those guys were when I won. I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
We don't get them in California.
Yeah.
You know, the number one station in California is El Cucuy. It's a Spanish guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who these guys were. So I'm doing like the radio press, right? I'm calling... I got up at 4:30 in the morning.
So let me just, for those of you watching who don't know who Bob and Tom are, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the story.
Yeah.
Kingmakers in the Midwest for stand-up. Kingmakers, absolutely.
One of them wears a Dodger hat.
Yeah.
But because they really bald, so it's like a receding Dodger hat.
Yeah.
It gets lower every year.
The hat goes forward more.
And they laugh at everything. They're one of the old morning guys. They laugh at everything. Like, so last night, you know, those type of guys?
Yeah. And so, I'm not looking to shit on the Midwest, but that's their humor.
I didn't know who the hell they were. So I'm doing a bunch of press, New York, everybody. Then I get to the other station. He goes, hey, Felipe Esparza, we just had Tommy John again here. Do you have any jokes about being on Last Comic Standing? And me, I thought it was like they were trying to mess with me, you know, by mentioning his names after I won. So I didn't know what they were talking about. So I said, I never heard of him. I don't know, man. I don't have jokes about Last Comic Standing because I won. How could I have jokes about winning? I mean, I won the money. And then they hung up on me. And then when they hung up on me, they talked a lot of shit about me.
They hung up on you?
Yeah, they hung up on me.
Holy shit.
Fuck them.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I thought it was,
I'm
like,
still here.
I hear that story. I think Tommy calls in, starts a problem, but they hung up on
you. I'm still here, though, man.
Yeah,
and
you are.
And Tommy's doing fine too. You know, he got like two TV deals. You know, sure. That didn't get picked up, but everybody on our show did well. Tommy Jonigan did well. Mike Kaplan doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Woods doing well. But you know who's doing the best of that season?
Whom?
Tiffany Haddish and Little Rel.
I forgot she was on that.
You forgot that she was top 40, huh?
Yeah.
She was the Last Comic Standing the same year I was, and so was Little Rel. He was in the top 10.
Really? See, I don't remember the season that all that well, but...
I just remember the controversy.
It's amazing.
After
you
don't
have to win.
Season, but, yeah.
You don't have to win these things. You just need the exposure, like, and Mike, you need to have a good act.
When they were asking me, who's your biggest competition on the show, I would never say Tommy. I say my biggest competition on the show... It's Mike DeStefano. Then they asked me why. Because this guy's not just funny.
Yeah.
He's beyond funny. He's funny and likable. And you can't mess with that.
You're incredibly likable.
But this guy would go up on during a tour and get a standing ovation. And Tommy couldn't follow that. Sorry, but he couldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he kept going over. Because he had to follow Mike DeStefano.
Yeah.
And he was a killer, bro. This guy was just... like this guy, if he was still alive, he probably would have had two killer specials right now.
Yeah.
A lot of, if Mike would have been around, a lot of the people you see right now who are edgy wouldn't have been around. It would have just been Mike, that's it.
That's high praise.
Yeah, the guy was, he was fucking funny. And you know, I know he was funny because his favorite comedian was Carlo Mencia. He told me one time that he walked in, he went to go see Carlo Mencia at Caroline's, I think. And as soon as the show ended, he bought tickets for the next time he was going to be there.
Interesting.
And nobody had ever done that for my show.
Well, would you like to be the first? You could buy your tickets to see Felipe tonight. Do you go by Felipe or Felipe?
No, Felipe, full of Spanish. Felipe's okay. English.
Yeah, well, I know, but I just heard you announce on a couple of things as Felipe.
No, they fucked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was on Showtime, Scott Montoya, he brought me up as Felipe Esparza.
Yeah.
And when my wife told him, hey, man, his name is not Felipe. It's Felipe, but that's what I call him.
Felipe
is the whole world gonna call me Felipe.
Felipe is with a PH.
Yeah, Felipe.
You would think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, even my wife's son recognized that was not my name when the special started, but it's Felipe Esparza.
Yeah.
Felipe.
Yeah. Get your tickets now. 5854 comedy. Visit CarlsonComedy.com. Before we let you go, enjoy.
But
the rest
you know
of
what,
your
man? Yeah. I met a lot of great comics. Like a lot, I've been very fortunate to meet bad comics who are mean and great comics who are nice. Like I met Bobby Collins.
I love Bobby.
We split half a joint in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he told me, hey, I never voted for nobody. And I never watched that show, but I voted for you. And I said, oh, wow. And when I met Tom Green, Tom Green at Eric Andre's party,
mm-hmm.
and we were just there, and same thing, we were smoking half a joint.
Yeah.
And he goes, Felipe, well, you want to know how I heard of you? He goes, yeah. I was dating this Mexican chick. And we went to her house in Bakersfield, California. And we were having this big freaking barbecue. Huge. And then we all sat down in the living room. And her father said, you're a comedian, huh? You heard of this guy? And he puts your one-hour special. And they made me sit through the whole thing.
Wow.
Hey, go, I'm sorry that happened to you, bro. I would have broke up with her. Because nobody would have made me watch another special. And then I met Nick Swartz, and the first time I walked up to him, he walked up to me. He gave me a big hug, kiss in the cheek. And we're doing This Is Not Happening.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Felipe, I got to tell you something. He goes, all right. You're my mom's favorite comedian. No way. He goes, yes, when you were last comic standing, my mom calls me up. He goes, Nick, do you know the comedian named Felipe? He goes, yeah. Well, tell him I'm his favorite. I'm his biggest fan is over here in Minnesota.
That's hysterical.
So, yeah, man, I get to know comedians like that, and they're real cool dudes.
What do you think it is about your act that makes you so personable to people?
Because it's real. Yep. I'm not lying. Like when I say that, I used to be a horrible person. I used to sell marijuana to my son's mom's new husband.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take his money and give it to her as child support.
Yeah.
That's true.
I believe you.
Because one time
I think that's just creative financing. My ex-girlfriend, being a bad guy.
My son's mom, she didn't want her husband, you know, Tom, he's white.
Yeah.
She didn't want him to go to the hood and buy marijuana.
Uh-huh.
Then I said, well, if he wants to, I could get it for him. So then I would get it for my friend for cheap and then sell it to him at a retail price. And then the next week, I give the money back to her.
That's hysterical.
I think that's just genius.
It was my 420 pyramid scheme. Give some Dre Coco, bro.
That's how we do it, you know what I'm saying? We ain't messing around no more. But we're pinching the sack.
Wash your muffler.
I used to, man, the first comedian, Joe Diaz, used to do my room. I have a room in Montebello.
Yeah.
$50. He always did it every Wednesday. He would get a green burrito. And $50. And he'll tell me that he'll eat the green burrito and then he'll not eat for 2 days because he's the $50 for Coke.
Joey's my boy. I love that guy very much.
You got to give him some Joey, bro.
Bro, we're here live in Rochester with the man of the hour, Mr. What's it say on your fucking mug over there?
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
Are you kidding me with this Mr. Fantastic? Get rid of that Susquehanna mug.
It's Friday morning. Wash your balls.
Joe, because you had a Joe, him and Joe Rogan, they had a Joe Diaz impersonation contest.
I might want to get in on that. I'd go all day on that.
Joe Diaz beat him. You know, he beat Joe. He beat Joe Rogan like it wasn't nobody's business.
I believe it. Yours is pretty solid. Yours is pretty
solid.
Let
him have the he's and the ha-has. Give some Joe Rogan, bro.
Wow, everything's tremendous up here. It's really interesting. I mean, the way that scientists talk about those things. We're sitting on the
head. I'm enjoying this.
Spin, bro.
I'm enjoying this. Unfortunately, nobody can hear it, but, you know.
I'm out of here.
Take your shirt off, bro.
Rodrigo, you rule, man. I got to tell you, though, this has been a very, very cool show. You are going to be missing out if you do not brave the weather this weekend to come see Felipe. Before you go, can I ask you one question?
Yeah,
we do this for every episode. We have a lot of young comics who watch the show because we try to talk about people's paths in comedy, and they find it to be interesting. If you were going to be starting again, let's say this
today,
never happened.
What
today,
year, though? This year?
Today, 2018.
At what age?
2019.
At what age?
You know what? That's a great question. I don't think it necessarily matters to the tail end of the question, but you tell me and I'll clarify if you decide.
29.
Okay. Let's say you're 29 years old and you want to start doing comedy. Where would you begin? What would you start to do?
I will, first of all, don't ask a famous comedian, how do I start doing comedy? Because once you start doing comedy and then you remind him of that email you sent him, he'll never speak to you again. And second, Google it first. How do I be a comedian? Ask.com, how do you be a comedian? It'll tell you right there. And you get a list. It's easier now to be a comedian. I have to go to a library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't have to go to a library.
Mm-hmm.
You go on social media.
We have all the world's knowledge in our pockets.
Yeah, and you know what? If nobody had ever told you you should be a comedian, it's going to be tough for you because you're going to have to join a comedy class. So I would just join a comedy class. And then out of that comedy class, if you don't come out being the funniest, you're not going to make it.
Solid.
You're going to be selling real estate and teaching traffic school.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that a formal education in comedy never hurt anybody, even if you just love comedy, to learn about the art of it.
Yeah.
Because if you want to be a comedian,
don't
I think
be
you
a, also, man, don't be a comedy fan. Fuck that. You don't need to be a comedian that knows all the comedians, that knows all the acts, all the bits. Nobody wants to fucking talk to that guy. I don't.
Yeah.
I hate comedy nerds, especially they're not funny. Like, who gives a fuck if you know the pit bull of comedy? You know, nobody gives a fuck about who you hung out with.
Right.
I want to know about you killing. Don't talk about them killing.
That's
the sad thing when you're a comedy nerd and all you know is about other people who are funny. Nah, fuck all that. You don't want to be that guy that has the albums, that goes to every... You don't want to learn watching comedy, man. That's the wrong way to learn comedy. Don't watch the comedians who are making it right now. Like, don't watch Theo Von, because you're going to beat Theo Von.
Right.
Don't watch Dave Attell, because you're going to beat Dave Attell. Don't watch me, because you're going to beat me. Watch the old comics.
Dean, you worked for Gabriel.
Watch George Carlin. You know, watch Richard Pryor. Watch comedians who suck. Go look up on YouTube, Comedian Bombing. And if you can... Comedian Bombing. And if you can stand that pain...
Yeah.
If you can watch a comedian bomb for 30 minutes on a YouTube video, and if you could stand that without, if you could watch that YouTube video without cringing, you're not going to be a comedian. Because if you cringe while watching that, you're going to be a comic, because that hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. I don't give a fuck who you are. Comics, if you're bombing, it hurts.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, watching a comic bomb, my mouth gets dry watching
I can't
it.
Stand watching a comic go when I know they're going past the light. Like, when I know that they're going over, I have to leave the room. I can't handle it.
That's why I would tell every young comic, man, very important, if you're an MC, if you're the guest spot, if you're the host, if you got to bring up the headliner, if you can't remember their last name, he's gonna forget you right there and never speak to you again.
Probably
that's
not wrong.
One thing you should do, man. Like, if you're a young comic and you know I'm coming in town, you know that another comedian coming to town, practice saying their fucking name.
Because
if you fuck up their name, you're done for the whole week.
Yeah.
I'm not a mean guy. You can fuck up my name all day long. But if you fuck up my name and you don't have no weed either, What the fuck I need you for?
Why were Wise you
like, I get young comic walking into the green room, like with their hopes and dreams. Hey man, I'm a young comic, man. You mind if I do some spots? Well, I always tell them, what do I get out of it? And they still they're quiet, like, what do I get out of it? You know I smoke weed, motherfucker. You know what? You see my pages. Where's the fucking joint? Where's my envelope? Where's fucking, where do I get out of it? This is 2019. You gotta bring something to the plate. Hey, Felipe, you know, this is the best way to walk up to me. Wait for me after the show. Have a fat ass fucking blunt. Let me smoke it first. Let me tell you that blunt is good weed. Then tell me I'm a young comic. Then I'm gonna look at you and go, oh, bro, you're a young comic? You should have fucking told me. I would have put you up. Come back on Sunday. I'll give you 5 minutes.
There it is.
And that's how it works, bro.
That is a magical recipe that
how can you be so stupid, man, and just knock and go in there and bother Daniel Tosh, bother whoever the fuck it is in there, and ask for a fucking guest spot and don't bring anything to the fucking table. If you have a fine chick with big ass titties, bring her in the green room and ask Pauly Shore for a guest spot. Of course, buddy. That's your girlfriend, buddy. Leave her here, buddy. You go out.
You can watch it from the green room.
And that's first hysterical. Of all, if you're an open mic, if you're the host,
mm-hmm.
don't bring your friends in the green room. Don't even show up to the green room. If you have friends that are comics, they can't be in the fucking green room. Mm-hmm. If you're an opener, don't be in the green room before the headliner.
Good point.
Wait till the headline to show up and then invite your ass in.
Yeah.
I hate when I get there and the opener's already eating. What the fuck are you eating for? You're doing 5 minutes. You should have ate at home. There's no way your girlfriend should be eating wings before me.
That's hysterical.
No, that's a proper etiquette.
You're not wrong.
No, you should know these things. I shouldn't be fucking telling you these things. You should know this.
Right?
Like, if you're doing 5 minutes, I remember I was doing a comedy show in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And the host, the promoter, gave the fucking, this guy a 10-minute guest spot. You know what that guy did? He gave his friend 5 minutes off that 10 minutes.
Oh, no. Fuck
that. Bro, this is how stupid young comics are.
That's dumb. That's this how fucking
stupid young comics are. So then, anyway, so I let it go. So now every time I go back to Texas, that same comic wants a guest spot. I always say when they ask me, he's a real funny guy. Bro, let me just stop you right there. Let me tell you, fuck no. Yeah, but he's been promoting for us all day. I don't give a fuck. And I never tell him why. Then finally, I finally told him, bro, let me tell you why. Bring him in here real quick, and I'm afraid I can tell you in front of him. Remember that one time 8 years ago, you piece of shit? Asshole fucking piece of shit. They gave you a fucking guest spot, and you brought your friend. He did 5 minutes? Yeah. That's why I don't give you a guest spot.
He sublet his guest spot.
Because you're a fucking stupid idiot. Oh, that's a good one, bro. Sublet it, bro. Yeah. Bro, you don't timeshare a guest spot, bro.
Airbnb it, dog.
You don't Airbnb a fucking guest spot.
No, you do not.
Only your girlfriend would do that too, bro.
Right.
We could share that bitch, but we can't share a guest spot.
No.
I hate when the comedian, the opener, or the feature orders a shitload of food and doesn't tip the waitress a dime.
Oh, kill yourself.
I don't think every comedian out here, you're listening, if you show up to any club where you get a free drink, don't show up with no fucking money, motherfucker.
Yeah. I hate that.
Free drinks? Life. $2, bro. There's no such thing as free drinks.
No,
that bitch
not.
Has to bring it to you. That costs money. You should have $2 for every fucking free drink. I don't give a fuck if the drink costs $5. I don't give a fuck if the drink costs $10. You have $2 ready for the fucking waitress. Every fucking night. And I'm a headliner. Every night, I give the waitress $20.
There it is.
That's it. Even if I don't order nothing, I give her $20 because I know sometimes the people around me are not going to tip.
Right.
So I want her to say good things about us.
And she's still coming back there.
She's still coming back over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see people order dinners, bro, prime rib, and not give the waitress shit. How can you live like that, man?
Probably Tommy John again.
Probably, man. I can't believe it. You're so fucking cheap, man. Like me, man, I learned from watching Goodfellas. I learned from watching Sharon Stone in Casino.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to learn from Sharon Stone in Casino.
Bro, watching Sharon Stone work it on Casino taught me everything. Bro, I tip people, bro. I tip the mop guy sometimes. Because I know he knows where to find drugs. You know what I mean? I know, you know, I see his prison tattoos. I know what's up. You know, I tip everybody, bro. Because, you know, if I ever need help, they're going to remember me.
Yeah.
One time I couldn't find a ride. And this fucking waitress goes, you know what? My boyfriend is coming over. He's a little, he'll give you a ride. And he gave me a ride.
There it is.
And then he goes, and he put me to the side and said, listen, man, you don't know me, man, but I know you come here all the time, and my wife is your waitress. Man, I want to thank you for taking care of her.
Huh.
He goes, I remember one time this comedian tried to fuck her, and then when she told the owner tried to get her fired. Bro, let me tell you, waitresses go through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not here, though. We treat them very well, and you should, too.
Yeah, waitresses are good, bro.
They are.
Give good hand jobs.
Yeah, well, the backbone of any good club is the servers.
Except, you know, there's some waitresses, bro, that you walk into the comedy club, and the waitresses and the owner look like, shit, bro. Okay, all right, we're going to party all week. I'm going to wake up at the strip bar.
There it is.
Well, that's just it, man, for you young comics, man. Don't be a cheap motherfucker, man.
Tip,
man. Because this comedy class you have of live ain't free, man. You got a tip.
So I'm gonna close this out by summing this up. Be a student. Figure it out. Don't do it by watching. Learn you. Don't be cheap. And bring Felipe a
joint. This is why you don't watch comedy, because I was that guy. I saw Damon Wayans one time, and he did a bit, and it killed. Then I went to go see him do another show on the next day because I knew he was going to be at the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. And I went to go see him again, and he did the same joke, and it didn't work. And I walked up to him at the end of the show with my notes.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
And I walked up to him, and I said, Mr. Damon Wayans, I noticed that you did this joke. And I wrote it down. I said, you did it like, but tonight you did it this way. I just want to know if the last time you did it was funnier this way. And if you want my notes, here they are. Man, he just looked at me and walked away.
I was scared.
I thought I was done in Hollywood, bro. I thought he was going to call Sean Wayans to kick my ass. But I didn't stop there.
Yeah.
I walked up to Sean Wayans one time, same thing.
Can you give your brother these notes?
Yeah, no, bro. You know what he did? You know what he did? He gave me his brother's phone number, Kidnapper Wayans.
Yeah.
And then I got a job writing on the show.
No kidding.
No.
So Damon doesn't have time for you, but Sean and Keenan do. Right on. That's crazy. I can't imagine walking up to somebody with notes.
This I shouldn't tell you guys, young comics, but I know some of you might do it because I've seen it done before.
All right.
If you see a notebook that says John Doe's set list, don't touch it. Don't fucking open it. I don't give a fuck who you are. Don't open up the holy grail of somebody's comedy ever. Ever in your life.
Somebody, you've seen people do that?
Yes, bro. Cristela Alonso, who had her own sitcom and a special on Netflix, was doing her stand-up comedy, and another comedian opened up her set list and started going over the joke she was saying and started tagging shit up on her notebook. That right there, bro, is worse than sleeping with my wife.
What if you're really drunk and you just want to draw dicks in somebody's notebook? Is that right?
They did it being a jerk, which is fine.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I remember, man.
I like to open it up and I'll flip to 40 pages later. I won't read a thing and I'll just draw a dick.
I like to write, go to page 8.
That's fun. Yeah. That's fun.
And then
fun.
Go to page 9. No. But Gabriel Iglesias, one time, there was a comedian that we didn't like bombing, and he was one of those guys that he kills, but he never goes over his set list or whatever. Right. But you know those guys that they bomb, but they bomb with confidence.
Yeah.
That didn't
get wasn't off. My night tonight, guys, but
yeah, hey! Not your night every night, motherfucker.
It's the crowd's fault.
It's the crowd's fault, eh? There was something about the lighting, you know?
That was a weird crowd. No.
Yeah, man, the owner bought a new sound system. It's too loud. You know, so Gabriel Iglesias and his other comedian got that guy's tape recorder and started talking into it during his comedy.
Oh, I love doing that.
And it was the worst.
I love doing that.
He goes, man, you see that? You see that, bro? That's called no laughs.
Ooh.
I would quit now. Ooh. Yeah, man. Don't ever do that again, people, unless you're going to be famous.
That one's rough. That one is bad. Unless you're going to be famous. No, that dude's just sitting there listening back to his set like, okay, look at this. Oh, I almost feel for that guy, but
you
I know, don't.
Dude, you should have seen it. He was bombing hard. Like, hard. Like, you could feel it, man. Like if he was getting whipped like a slave,
yeah,
you would have got hit with blood on your face.
Do you, when you've watched stuff, you've cringed. But if you're in a room during a bombing, are you at the point now where you're like, I love watching a train wreck? Or are you just like, I'm going to go get a drink?
Before I called 911. I've seen comedians bomb gracefully and got the comedians back on their side, but not the crowd. I think Daryl Heath.
Okay.
Daryl Heath. You know, I don't know what happened to him, but he's one of the greatest comics of all time. You know, he was just funny, like a young comic. Daryl Heath was bombing at my room. He goes, yeah, man, this is right now where this is the part, this is the funniest thing ever. This is the part of a life in a comedian right now, this situation right now where it makes a comedian great. You know, this is where he decides what type of comedian he's going to be.
Uh-huh.
A comedian that's going to go on to be funny later or a comedian that's going to be a hack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And me, he goes, I'm going to just say goodnight right now. And it's been a humbling experience.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's really, there's a lot there. There's a lot there.
Yeah, because once you start bombing and start asking people, what's your favorite tree? You need to get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah.
Because you ain't no branch manager.
Ladies and gentlemen, Felipe Esparza this weekend, Comedy at the Carlson. We're going to be back with stand-up news with Ross Johnson, so stick around.
What's up, fool? Check out my podcast, What's Up, Fool Podcast.
Do. Absolutely.
We have a great podcast every week. We have Tom Green, Nick Swarson. Nick Swarson actually he walked out of our interview because he was hungover.
Oh, that'll do it.
He was with his stomach like this, Felipe, I'm done. And he crawled out.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
It's a great show, though. I was listening to it this morning.
Yeah, thank you, man. I definitely subscribed this week to check out some stuff. Thank you, fool. I'll be continuing to listen.
One of our best episodes is our episode of Father Greg Boyle. He's the father who put me in rehab. And homeboy, he really helped me out.
That's what I like about it is you just have normal people on. Yeah. You don't have, it's all not all just comedians and stuff.
I meet random people. Like I had a guy on our show who was wrongfully convicted of a murder. And he saw me in prison when I was on Last Comic Standing. He said a lot of my cellmates who had phones at the time inside prison actually got on their phone and voted for you.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so a lot of booty calls.
You got that prison vote.
Yes, well, I got the prison vote, bro. You think Tommy people...
And you
got
to earn that vote.
You think people from prison voted for Tommy? Nope. You think the Aryan Brothers voted for him?
Maybe. When they saw you were going up against him.
You think the ABs...
Oh, shit. All right, we'll be right back with Ross. See you soon. Carlson Cast, don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. Well, folks, sometimes big things happen in the world of stand-up, and sometimes Ross Johnson is aware of them.
But
he's here today to talk about it anyway. It's Ross Johnson on Stand-Up News.
I've got literally some of the news.
Yay!
That's good.
Better than none.
So we're being silly, but of course I'm opening with something sad, so that doesn't work. Boo. So William Stevenson passed away, a fixture of the New York City
When did he pass away?
Club scene, just this past week.
What happened?
He just died. I don't know. Actually, you know what? The couple articles.
Top-notch research.
I actually did a little research to figure that out, and it seems to be a little. I don't know if it's mysterious, but
meteor.
There wasn't it might have been a meteor. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of discussion of exactly how he died.
It appears to be a lack of breathing.
Didn't seem to be a surprise, but a lot of people were pretty upset.
Yeah,
and he had a lot of friends.
He was beloved.
Yeah, and that's another guy where definitely you can sort of tell when people. I guess, you don't do it when they're alive. But when people die and you're like, oh, okay, people really did like this guy.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, people are genuinely sad. So that's, of course, sad news.
Brian's not even going to tweet when I die.
Can I take a minute to talk about somebody?
Brian's not even going to get it.
That passed away, you all right with this, Ben?
You died years ago.
You know who it's going to be.
Who? Carol Channing?
No. Our local guy, our friend. Just take a second, say goodbye to Ryan Shute, because I know a lot of people who watch the show know.
It's so depressing.
And it was very sad.
Dear old friend of ours passed away this week, and Brian decided to mention it in the middle of the news segment, and now I feel really, really awful. Ryan Shute was a dear friend of the show. I don't have words prepared. I don't have anything prepared.
I didn't either, and I don't think he'd want us to. I just want to say bye, Ryan.
We loved you, pal. You were a great guy, and you will be missed. So thanks for that, Brian.
Good job,
you dipshit. Go ahead, Ross.
So I don't have much of a segue for this, but Kevin Hart's going to be in the new Monopoly movie.
Who?
Everybody. We talked about Kevin Hart a couple times, so Kevin Hart, bouncing back.
There's a Monopoly movie?
Bouncing back from
Who's playing the cowboy?
I don't know. So there were no details about this, so of course.
I call Top Hat.
The thimble, you dummy.
Of course. He might be Uncle Pennybags? Uncle Moneybags?
Uncle Moneybags? Moneybags.
Uncle Moneybags?
I think it's Pennybags. It was I don't know.
I thought he was Captain Bagglebucks. I don't know what his name was.
Captain Bagglebucks.
Like, you could just name him anything you want to. What would you name a rich guy with a monocle and a top hat?
Monoclore. But that's...
Monocore.
Mr. Bucks. You call him all sorts of
That's
stuff.
Actually a He-Man movie.
There it is. Funniest thing you've ever said.
Henry Dollar.
Finally. I can die happy. So it's going to be...
Can we stop talking about death on the show, please?
Have you looked around? I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I don't think the topic is going away anytime soon. So it's going to be directed by Tim Story, who did like Ride Along and Barbershop and Taxi. So it's got a legit like director... Mm-hmm. But no details on what it's going to be about. But yeah, Kevin Hart will be starring. So if you were worried about him after the big Oscar thing, he will be starring
just fine.
As a car.
I can sleep yeah.
as a car.
Never thought for a minute he was going to have a hard time.
I'm not going to see a Monopoly movie. I'm holding out for Chutes and Ladders.
Sure. Not Candyland?
Mind your business.
All right.
What the fuck was that supposed to mean?
Struck a nerve.
They keep teasing me with this Candyland movie. It just isn't happening.
This new segment's full of ups and downs.
This is the most emotional episode we've ever done. This is gonna be our Emmy.
Yeah, we're gonna submit this one.
Yeah.
What else you got?
The Deplorables tour. Is touring the country. So this is a new comedy group described on its website as an uproarious comedy. And I'm bringing this up because they've got legit bookings. Like they're gonna be at the Egg in Albany. They're doing like cross country stuff. So website describes as
you get Albany, you got the whole country.
Well, it's that was the closest local. That was
they didn't
the closest
get the
local.
Funny bone.
But they're opening in Portland, of all places. So, website describes it as an uproarious comedy show for conservative thinkers, Trump supporters, and good old American deplorables.
Oh, my God.
The lineup is... the lineup is Terrence K. Williams, a self-described commenter, actor, comedian, entrepreneur, speaker, and fried chicken specialist.
What?
I like one of
those
things.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I question anyone's credentials who thinks they are a fried chicken expert.
Fair enough. Well, let's see if there's something else in this lineup for you then, maybe. Steve Mudflap McGrew, a stand-up comic.
Jesus.
And host of the Remasculate podcast.
Oh, God.
Mud flap.
You have not said a word yet that I like about
okay,
that.
Well, still got, hold on, hold
wait,
on.
Wait, is there actually a description of that guy? Because I think the name says it all.
that's all we got. It's Mr. Mud, is Mud Flap.
Okay.
Michael Loftus, frequent Fox and Friends guest and producer of several canceled television comedies.
Does it say canceled television comedies
in his
bio?
Well, he was the producer of Kevin Can Wait. Most recently, mm-hmm. So.
Okay, is he the one who chose to kill off the wife in the first season?
I assume. Okay. Like, you'd have to be, right?
Good. Sounds like something a deplorable would
and
do.
You guys might have actually seen these. So they're also including the deplorable choir. This is like a group of pretty
I think all choirs are pretty
ladies.
Deplorable.
True. So this was the – so one of their recent ones, the lyrics were, they want our wallets, they want our guns, they want the wieners off our sons. Democrats. I'm not going to sing it. So – get your tickets now.
No, or don't.
I could watch
or
it.
Or don't is fine.
It's
here's my thing. Comedy should be for everyone.
Oh, sure.
If you got a specialized show and that's what you want to do, be my guest.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not gonna.
God bless
I'm not gonna knock your hustle.
Just don't name yourself Mudflap.
They're gonna sell ten.
Don't name
tickets.
That'll go with.
yeah.
I could go with you know do whatever kind of comedy yeah. you want. You want to do conservative
yeah.
comedy?
Yeah,
be my guest.
Fine.
God bless
don't call yourself Mudflap, asshole.
That was my nickname. Back in the day.
Now we have a beef with Mudflap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm sure he's gonna see this.
You know what? I got an idea. Hey Cam, get Joe and your camera back there. I want to see his face.
All right.
Yeah, Joe, looking at the camera. There's our intern Joe, and we're Joe. You're no longer shoeless, Joe. Mudflap, baby.
Yeah.
Mudflap. 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 What's the matter with you two? You don't want to get it out of chance.
No, shoeless Joe was perfection.
Next week, I'll be reporting on the lawsuit from the original Mudflap, Steve McGrew.
Yeah, just go steal a Zach like Gallagher 2 and just run around and do whatever
Gallagher 2.
Whatever the fuck it is that Mudflap does
Jr.
on stage.
He's the host of the Remasculate podcast, Brian.
No. Please. You're the co-host of this one. He's an actual host.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
And you throwing shade his way.
I guess he's remasculated me.
What
okay,
else
well,
you got, Ross?
Okay,
because
well,
I got to be done.
Okay, well, if we keep Brian out of this one, we're going to end on a nice, on a happy note. Michael Che, just a couple nights ago, he hosted a benefit for public housing at Irving Plaza. To benefit the Fund for Public Housing, a nonprofit organization affiliated with the New York City Housing Authority. He had Amy Schumer, Colin Jost, Michelle Wolf, Yamanika Sanders, Neil Bryan, Jeff Ross, Sal Vulcano, et cetera, et cetera. Raised like $12,000.
That's
for,
great.
Public housing in New York City. So
yeah,
I just thought that was a nice story.
That'll get you like half a month's rent somewhere.
It's not. Yeah. It was sort of like, oh, I'm sorry. No. I said that wrong. So it was $111,000. So
okay.
2 months.
2 months. That's pretty good.
2 months rent. Absolutely.
We won't deconstruct how you mistook $12,000 for $111,000.
1 month if you want an actual bedroom.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's with eight roommates.
True. Ross is bad at numbers.
Brian.
Yeah.
You're bad at everything
Brian,
else.
Brian, I asked you to stay
alone.
Out of this one. God damn it.
Adequate job as usual, Ross.
Thank
Brian,
you.
You have been a train wreck all day.
Sure.
Just kidding.
I think
love
I've
it,
been
pal.
Excellent.
Just today.
I think I've been excellent.
If you like the show, make sure you comment. Tell us what you think. Feel free to comment on this episode. Send us an email, carlsoncast@gmail.com. And most importantly, make sure you subscribe and give us a rating, review, whatever. We really appreciate it.
Review is most important.
Review is very important. So if you're an iTunes person, awesome. If you're a YouTube person, great. Whatever you're listening to us on, Spotify, Laughable, we're in a lot of places. We just appreciate you checking the show out. We'll see you next week. Later, Marks.